Great. Well, it is a joy to be back in Norway. This is my first time in this part of Norway. I'm normally in the west of Norway speaking at events. I think the first place, obviously a few Western Norwegians here. I was in Volda. Any Voldaites here? That was my first trip to Norway. And whenever I came to Norway, it always rained. And someone said, no, what you really need to do is you need to come to the south of Norway, to Kristiansund, because it's the sunniest place in Norway. So I have to say it's a delight to be here in the sunniest part of Norway for what promises to be a very sunny weekend. Let's just be glad we're not camping. But it is a joy to be back here. It's a joy to be sharing with you over the course of this weekend. And all weekend we're looking at this subject of faith. And the text that we're thinking about, or part of the text that we're thinking about tonight, is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says, the life I live by faith. The Christian life is the life of faith. But actually, there is a lot of confusion today, isn't there, about what faith actually is. What actually is faith? A few months ago, I was getting my hair cut. This is my local hairdresser's back in my town. And it doesn't take long, as you can imagine, to cut my hair, but long enough to have a conversation with the person doing the job. And on this particular occasion, the lady who was cutting my hair was new. I hadn't met her before, and so after talking about the weather, which took the first 5 minutes, we then talked about what my job was. And she asked me what I was doing. I explained. And once she had heard that, she looked at me in the mirror, and she said, "I really admire your faith." I thought that was a bit of a compliment. She didn't admire my face, but my faith is a kind of good second best. And so I looked at her in the mirror and I said to her, "What do you think faith is?" And she stopped and put the scissors down for a moment and looked at me in the mirror and she said, "Faith is believing things that aren't true." And I looked at her in the mirror and I say, "And do you admire my ability to believe things that aren't true?" At which point she stopped and thought for a moment longer and she said, "You've got a point there." I said, "Because I think I would pity people that have that kind of ability, shouldn't you?" Now, we can laugh, but actually this idea that faith is an irrational belief in things that aren't really true is actually more common than we might think. Faith is what you need when there isn't evidence. That's what many people think. Faith is what you need when you have to go against the evidence, perhaps. And there are plenty of people who are willing to say that. And Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist and professor at Oxford University, said, "Faith is belief in spite or even perhaps because of the lack of evidence. Faith demands a positive suspension of critical faculties." Or A.C. Grayling, the philosopher, said, "Faith is a commitment to belief contrary to evidence and reason. To believe something in the face of evidence and against reason, to believe something by faith is ignoble, irresponsible, and ignorant, and merits the opposite of respect." Or Mark Twain put it more simply, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." You see, what all of these people are saying is that faith is basically this kind of irrational belief in something which isn't really true, for which there is no evidence. But actually, is that true? Is that how we talk about faith? Because actually, you don't have to be religious to exercise faith, do you? Faith just means to trust, to have trust in something or someone. And all of us have faith or place trust in things and in people. You might have faith in a friend, and you trust them, and you trust what they say. Or today, I had faith in SAS Airlines to get me to Kristiansund, and I sat in my seat, and I trusted them to get me here, and they did. Or I have faith in Google Maps to navigate me in a country I've never been to when I get in a car, and I trust that it will get me to a place I've never even seen. We all exercise faith, not irrational faith, but faith that's based on evidence, faith that's sensible. And actually, when the evidence points to the contrary, sometimes we don't exercise faith. If you find that your friend continually lets you down, you lose your faith in them. A few years ago, I was in Malawi, and I heard that the national carrier airline there, Air Malawi, is so unreliable that it actually got nicknamed Air Where Are We, because it makes so many unscheduled stops. And so you're never quite sure whether you'll ever get to your destination. My brother actually was flying on the airline, and they overbooked the seats on the plane. And they had two people left and only one seat. And so they said that it was going to be given to the person who won the race of running around the aeroplane first. Now, knowing what I did about Air Malawi made me think twice about whether I booked with them, because the evidence would suggest that that might not be a good idea. Similarly, when Apple started their own version of the Map app, it took me to a lot of strange destinations, and so I lost my faith in its ability to direct me there. We can have faith based on evidence, and when the evidence isn't there, we don't have faith. So all of us exercise faith. In fact, you couldn't even study science unless you had faith. I mean, you're not going to sit down and conduct every experiment that's ever been done before you to check whether it's true. No, you trust that the results of other people's experiments may be trustworthy. So everyone has faith, faith based on evidence. Ah, but someone says, isn't religious faith different? Okay, we can have faith in airlines and in friends and in maps, but faith in religion or faith in God, surely that comes into a different kind of category. Maybe you are familiar with the story at the end of John's Gospel. Thomas, often known as Doubting Thomas, doubts that Jesus is risen from the dead until he sees him with his own eyes. Actually, I feel a bit sorry for Thomas because all the other disciples didn't believe until they saw as well. It's just that he wasn't there the first time when Jesus appeared. And when Thomas sees Jesus with his own eyes and says, "My Lord and my God," he recognizes that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. And Jesus turns to Thomas and he says this. Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, some people read that and they say, aha, that's exactly the point. That's what religious faith is. It's blind. It's irrational. Jesus is commending people who believe without seeing. But it is important to notice that Jesus isn't commending people who believe without thinking. He's not contrasting faith and reason, he's contrasting faith and sight. He says there are people who believe without seeing, but that doesn't mean that they aren't people who don't think. In fact, the very next verse of John's Gospel goes on to say this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what John is saying is we do not have the benefit of seeing Jesus with our eyes, touching him with our hands, hearing him with our ears. But that doesn't mean that our faith is irrational. It doesn't mean that it's against the evidence, but he says, "I've written this very book so that you can base your faith upon evidence." And we'll think about that more, I think, tomorrow morning. So in terms of Christian faith, at very least, it is not irrational. It is still based on truth. It's still based on evidence. In fact, the word faith in the New Testament Greek is the word pistis. It sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? And it literally just means to be persuaded of something, to be convinced. That's why the early Christians didn't go around the Roman world saying, "Close your eyes and take a leap into the dark." But they went around debating and reasoning and urging and persuading because they were convinced that what they believed was true. And they were convinced that other people could come to that conviction as well. Okay, you might say, faith might be based on evidence, but can you prove it? Can you prove that Christianity is true? And the answer to that is no, we can't. Ah, you say, well, if you can't prove it's true, then that just proves it's irrational, right? Well, no. See, actually, there are very few things in life that you can prove 100%. Outside of logic and pure mathematics, there are very few things where we talk about proof. Even in the realm of the natural sciences, we don't really talk about proof. But we talk about a conviction based upon the weight of the evidence available to us. Not proof, but still strong conviction based upon evidence. And it's the same with the Christian faith. We don't have 100% proof, but that doesn't mean it's irrational, and it's still based on evidence. And actually, what I want to say is that everybody has faith. Sometimes people say, well, you religious people, you Christians, you have faith, we just have evidence, we just have facts. But actually, whoever you are, you believe something. It may not have a name or a label, you may not go to a church or a place of worship, but everybody believes something, right? Now, it's common for people to say, well, atheism isn't a faith. The professor of maths at Oxford University, John Lennox, who's well known for debating amongst other atheists, Richard Dawkins, was once in a debate with one of these atheists. And the atheist said, well, the thing is, John, atheism is not a faith. And John said, oh, really? I thought you said you believed it. Because actually, everybody believes something about the universe, about life, about the point of life. Everybody has some kind of faith. The question is our faith based upon evidence? Is it rational? Is it reasonable? There are certain things that we assume are true about the universe. The question is, how do we explain it? Does Christian faith and belief in God explain it best? Or does atheism or something else explain it best? Let me give you some examples. Almost everyone in the universe accepts that, or everyone in the world accepts that the universe came into existence. It's not always the case that people thought that, but ever since the theory of the Big Bang, that's what people think. The question is, why? Why did the universe, space, time, matter, and everything that we know come into existence? Was it the creative act of God, or was it that somehow nothing became everything for no reason whatsoever? Most physicists will tell us that the universe we live in is finely tuned so that life could exist. And there are so many constants in the laws of physics that have to be so finely tuned for life to even exist that the chances of that happening are so infinitesimally small, it is unimaginable. It would be like winning the lottery every week for the rest of the millennium and then again. The kind of chances that just aren't going to happen. And we have to ask, why is that the case? Is there a designer behind those laws of physics that intended them to be that way? Or, as many atheists now suggest, do we live in a multiverse where there are millions and millions of universes that happen to be different and we just happen to live in the one that was finely tuned to get it right? How we know about those other universes that we can't see or touch or observe, I don't know. It's very much a faith position based on no evidence whatsoever. Most people in the world believe that humans have rights and value, and we live as if that is the case. But where does that value come from, and why do we have those rights? Are they just the result of the evolutionary process? Or are we given value by something bigger than ourselves? Most of us think there's a difference between right and wrong, that there is such things as moral values. But where do those moral values come from if, at the end of the day, we're just living in a materialistic world made of matter and stuff? Or maybe they're given by God, the ultimate lawgiver. And then how do we explain the person of Jesus, this man 2,000 years ago who split history in two, who started the biggest sociological phenomenon in history, the Christian church? How do we explain him? Was he, as the documents claim, who he claimed to be, the Son of God? And if not, who was he? And how did this start? And then how do we explain the empty tomb of Jesus, the appearances of Jesus to the disciples, the incredible growth and explosion of the Christian church in the first century? How do we explain all of that? That Jesus rose from the dead? And if not, what else? See, everybody has to have faith. And my issue is this, that actually it would take me more faith, more irrational faith, to be an atheist. to reject the Christian message than it would be to actually be a Christian. Ah, but you might say, but why do we even need faith? Why is faith even necessary? I was talking to someone recently, and they said, well, you know, Michael, if something's true, you don't need faith. You just believe it. I don't have faith that 2 + 2 = 4. I just know that 2 + 2 = 4. I just know. Why do you need faith? Good question. But if you were to get into an aeroplane and strap a parachute to your back and prepare to jump out of it at 10,000 meters or whatever height you decide to do it from, you may know that that parachute is designed to take your weight. But actually, I still think you would probably talk about having faith or trusting it. Why? Whether 2 + 2 = 4 or not doesn't make a big difference to my life or my future. But if I'm about to jump out of an aeroplane, whether or not that parachute works or not is going to have a big difference to my future, or lack of it, in the next few moments. Faith is needed when things have personal impact upon us. And that's exactly the same when it comes to the Christian faith. It's not irrational, it's based upon evidence. But it has massive implications, doesn't it? If it's true, it affects all of life and death and eternity. And we stake our lives upon it. We can know it's true. But it takes more than just knowledge. It takes acting upon that knowledge. The story is told of a famous tightrope walker in the United States. And he tightrope walked across the Niagara Falls. And as he came to the other side, he decided to do it again, but this time pushing a wheelbarrow across this tightrope. And when he got to the other side again, there was a large selection of press photographers. And one of them, in his enthusiasm for what had just happened, said, I believe you could do it again, and you could do it with someone in the wheelbarrow. And so Blondin said, okay, get in, and I'll take you back across. And the man ran a mile. You see, there's a big difference between saying, I believe it, and actually getting into the wheelbarrow. And Christian faith is not just about saying, I believe in a set of facts, although there are facts and there is evidence. But it's then building your life upon what you know is true and staking your future on it. And that's why we need faith, because it makes all the difference in the world. But let me say this before we finish. At the end of the day, it's not how much faith you have, but who your faith is in that really matters. See, Christian faith is not in a system of ideas or a set of facts, but ultimately Christian faith is in a person. It's in Jesus. The clue is kind of in the name, isn't it? If you take Christ out of Christian, you're only left with three letters, I-A-N, and Ian can't help you. Sorry, that's a bad joke. I shouldn't have used it. But Christianity is about Christ. It's about a person. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a system of morality. It's about Jesus. It's about trusting him. And Jesus once said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Why? Because it's not how much faith we have, but who it's in that really matters. Picture two people on an aeroplane. One, a seasoned traveler. They get on the plane, and before the security or the safety announcement is even finished, they're already asleep. They're so confident in that plane's ability to get them to their destination, they don't worry. The second is a very, very nervous flyer. They've been dreading this moment for weeks. They've plucked up the courage. They've downed a few drinks and they've got on the plane and they're sitting there sweating profusely in the seat next to the person now fast asleep. One has great faith. The other, you might say, has very weak faith. But both of them will get to their destination because both of them got on the plane. Ultimately, it's not how much faith you have, but who it's in. And therefore, Christian faith is not just about trusting in evidence, although it's not less than that, but trusting in the one to whom the evidence points, trusting in Jesus himself. And if you want to grow in your trust of someone, you have to get to know them, don't you? You have to get to know them personally. And you have to get to know whether they can be trustworthy. I guess there are some people here tonight, and maybe you don't class yourself yet as a Christian, or maybe you're not sure whether you're a Christian. You don't know whether you have faith. Well, this weekend, I hope, will be really helpful as you get to look at the evidence for Christianity, the confidence that we can have that Christianity is true. But at the center of it, get to know Jesus. Get to know him, what he did for you. Because it's as you get to know Jesus that you get to know that you can trust him completely. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading on the BBC News of a couple who were hiking in the Yosemite National Park in America. They were a British couple in their 30s. There was a rock fall, and the husband, a guy called Andrew Foster, saw this rock fall coming down the mountain, and so he threw himself on top of his wife, Lucy, to protect her. He was killed instantly, and she survived. And she said, "I always knew that my husband would do anything for me. And now I really know that he did. He was willing to throw himself in front of those rocks for me." And it reminded me that at the center of the Christian faith is a person who threw himself, as it were, in front of the rocks for me. I'm not just called to exercise trust in something, but someone. Someone who not only lived, but died for me. And when I look at Jesus and what he did for me, that is someone who I can trust with my life. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you don't call us to have blind or irrational faith in things that are not true. Thank you that this weekend we will be given so many reasons to have confidence in you. But we thank you too that our faith is not just in something. We thank you that our faith is in someone. We thank you that it is faith in someone who loved us enough to die for us, who gave himself for us. Thank you that we can really trust Jesus. Father, I pray for those here who maybe haven't yet come to that point of doing that, that this weekend will be a time when they come to know that they can do that for themselves, that they find that they trust you. And for those of us that already do, Lord God, please grow our faith this weekend, so that we may have greater confidence and greater trust in you, and therefore in that faith to do greater things for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.